Welcome to Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we will take an in-depth and closer look at this beloved television series, the spin-offs, the merchandising, and the global fandom phenomenon that has shaped the landscape of science fiction for over five decades and counting, including frogs. So step into our TARDIS and please enjoy our journey together here on Type 40. However, I cannot pilot the TARDIS alone, and as much as I love frogs, it takes a little more than a frog to drive the TARDIS. So once again, joining me is, as always, here in the Type 40, one Mr. Dan Hadley. How you doing, Dan?
Hello, Carl. Yeah, it's been several years since I've been accused of being green.
You know, it's not easy being green, so.
I can jump a fair old way for a man of my years as well, though, to be fair.
Yeah, there you go. That's, You know, you get nothing beats the power of a jump. But we've got a very interesting, we'll put it this way, episode of Doctor Who to discuss this week. But before we even get started in that, let's tell you where you can find Type 40 and all the great shows of the Fandom Podcast Network. And it starts on our master feed over at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. If you're using your mobile device or your sonic screwdriver or your sonic sunglasses, you can also download the Podbean app and search Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network also on iTunes, Stitcher, on Google Play for you Android device users, and we are also now on Spotify. So that's a little exciting. And you can follow us all over the place on social media, on Instagram at either the Fandom Podcast Network or at Type 40 Doctor Who. Or visit our Facebook page, Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom. You can also email us at type40doctorwho@gmail.com. Also find us on Twitter or Instagram at Type 40 Doctor Who. You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom, hashtag I might be feeling a little froggy, but Dan, where can people find you on social media?
Come and find me in the Type 40 Doctor Who Facebook group. Along with other listeners and some of the other voices you hear on the show, we're talking Doctor Who, old and new, and looking forward to the New Year special. And there's always something to talk about with Doctor Who, isn't there?
Yeah, we're all feeling a little froggy around.
So
here,
yeah, so. I'm there, and you can find me on Instagram. I'm on as Dan Hadley _. A few geeky pictures from I'm a lifelong geek, and that's what you'll find on there. And yeah, back on Facebook in the Spacebook, of course, where we're having a very sort of Marvel Cinematic Universe overload at the moment, thanks to all the Avengers trailers and all that sort of thing that's coming out. So there's lots of excitement about what's to come next year in the general geek entertainment universe, at least.
Wait, Dan, you remember me from that one thing in Germany? I grew really big.
Oh?
Yeah. Can you let me in the front door, please? Can you buzz me in?
What's that?
Oh, you don't tell me you don't remember the Avengers trailer already.
Oh, no, I haven't watched it.
Oh!
Kyle, I don't watch trailers. I don't watch the big trailers, just in case, because they spoil the films for me. They show you too much. I don't watch those. Oh, but I listen to people talking about them, and I get all I need from there.
Joke just falls flat. It's just another frog thing. I'm going to blame the frog.
Sorry, Kyle. Could have bluffed my way through that one.
No, well, you know, it happens. Of course, too, you know, it is the holiday season. We would love for you to visit our TeePublic store at teepublic.com, where you can find all kinds of gear with the Type 40 logo or all the great logos of the Fandom Podcast Network shows. Pick up a little something, throw it under the tree, throw it in your stocking. It just makes a nice little Christmas reminder out there. And of course, we love hearing from our fans and letting us know how we're doing. And you can leave us messages on iTunes with reviews. Kevin Reisel says he only allows for 5-star reviews. We're a little bit more flexible than that, but you know what? We love to hear the feedback in general. Now, Dan, we start off this week with some pretty major news for Doctor Who and some news that we are going to have a delay in Doctor Who.
Yeah, we've spoken about this before. a few episodes ago when we got Sarah Graham in, if you remember. We talked about this before, because it did look like this wasn't the case, but now we've had it confirmed that we're getting this year long delay between the New Year's special and whatever the next chunk of Doctor Who is going to be. We know it's going to star Jodie Whittaker again, and that's pretty much all we know for the time being. So yeah, 2019 will be, apart from whatever we get this New Year's Day, is going to be Wholess. And that's a hard prospect for, you know, even a fan who's not completely happy with what we've been getting the last few weeks. That's a very tough thing to look to see stretching out in front of us. How do you feel about it, Kyle?
Okay, so I'm of two sides on this. One, Doctor Who fans should be used to a really long break between seasons.
Yeah, we
are. I think we're being get a little bit of spoiled. But two, when you look at the modern thing and the fact of who's always had a fairly long break, but we're talking a full year, I think that there's some behind the scenes things going on. This is just my thought, my speculation. There's changes abound, I think, coming to the Doctor. I don't know whether we're going to see Chris Chibnall last the whole next season as the showrunner or not. We know Jodie is confirmed to come back for the entirety of season 12. Whether Chibnall is going to be around for the whole season 12 or not, I think that's maybe still a little bit up to debate. I think that it's been very obvious in this current season that there's been some creative differences between Chris Chibnall and the BBC. And maybe that's one of the reasons why we're going to have this little bit longer wait to see if they can't work through some of these issues that they've been having.
One would hope so. This is a really high profile show. And so, yeah, when you can see that things aren't as they should be. I mean, I've got to say this at least every episode of Type 40. I've got to say this: there's no smoke without fire. And in this case, it would appear to be that the Mirror is the newspaper in the UK that broke this story back in, I think it was early November. Could be as far back as early November. They said that there'd be a gap year. They also said that in the same piece as well, that there'd been problems with Chris Chibnall, with Jodie Whittaker, and that it was likely that both of them, well, Chris Chibnall would only intend on doing one more season, and that by default, so would Jodie Whittaker. You know, plans, things change, who knows? But up until this point, every rumour that has been circulating about Doctor Who and this era of it has turned out to be true. So it would be reasonable to assume that that's grounded in reality too, and that there are problems at the BBC, that there is that conflict of interest between the BBC and Chris Chibnall. And, you know, Chris Chibnall's got choices. He's high profile. It's not as if he was struggling to get work, get series into production before he went to Doctor Who. He took this job out of a love for the show, and clearly he does have his own vision for the series, what he thinks it should be, and the kind of television he wants to make. But is that the kind of television that the BBC is happy to promote and to see represented in one of their biggest franchises? It may be not, because viewing figures, you know, people, there's a lot of talk about viewing figures at the moment. There's a couple of different ways to read it. And whilst there's no doubt that in the UK there's been an increase in figures on the last couple of years generally, it's a combination of many things, though. The move to Sunday is part of that too. But the fact is that over the last 2 months, for those consolidated figures, they have continuously fallen for 8, if not 9 weeks, and that is unprecedented in Doctor Who history. And, you know, we can talk all we like about eras past, but why aren't those people coming back? If we've noticed, you can bet the BBC's noticed, and we'll be asking those questions. And they'll be asking Chris Chibnall, or they'll be certainly asking, you know, how they can avoid that moving forward. So, you know, it's not it's like you say, we're used to gaps, and we're used to uncertainty. And there have been problems behind the scenes with Doctor Who before, some of which we haven't known about until years later. We're only just now finding out about the Chris Eccleston stuff with him and Russell T Davies talking about it. So Clearly, Doctor Who has sailed through waters probably as troubled as this before without us knowing. It's probably par for the course up to a point.
Well, if you can bear with me for a moment, Dan, because I'm going to throw out a few. And again, these are my thoughts personally. These are not based on any facts or any information I have. These are just my thoughts personally. And there's a couple of things I want to address here. First and foremost, and I said this on the most recent episode of Culture Clash I do with my co-host there, Kevin Reitzel, when we talked a little bit about Doctor Who being renewed for a 12th season and Jodie coming back, the Doctor Who fandom in the last year since this new season has started has kind of gone a little Star Wars Last Jedi, where it's become very split and very divisive.
Yeah.
And not always in the best of ways. There's been some negativity, and I get it. There's frustration. There's a lot of different things. And I've thought about this, and I've sat back and I've thought about this. And, you know, Dan, we've had conversations off mic. This has not been the season you hoped it would be. It's probably been a little bit of a disappointment for you in the aspect of where it's gone. And you know what? That's okay. The thing we have to remember is we don't own this property. We're fans of it. If we want to send our message out that we're not happy with something, the best way is to not watch it and let the BBC so you know. However, there's some things that people are bringing up that I want to bring some counterpoints up to. People are talking about the drop in ratings numbers. Here's the thing to consider. This is a 10-episode season of Doctor Who with the DVD set coming out mere weeks after the season finale. I mean, we talked about this last episode. It's coming out in January. A 10-episode season is a lot easier to binge watch than a full 20-episode season. I think what's happening with Doctor Who, and I think it's a mentality that is becoming more and more with the way our entertainment is streamed, watching a show week to week is almost passé now. People want to binge. People want to watch 4 and 5 episodes at one time. And I think that is what's happening across the board with a lot of TV shows, with the only exception being to the rule right now is Game of Thrones. Because Game of Thrones is just a totally different monster in its own self. But I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing the Doctor Who numbers being dropped. People aren't watching it week to week. They're watching 3 and 4 episodes at a time, or they're just waiting until they can watch the whole thing in one big grouping. And the reason why we had such high numbers on the first episode was because of all the change, because of Jodie, because of Chris Chibnall. People were interested. People wanted to see what it was going to be about. They watched a couple episodes and then were probably like, you know what? I'm just going to wait till I can binge watch this. So I think that's part of the numbers issue as well. And that's not a knock because of on Doctor Who. It's a way society is now and how we consume our media. Now,
I hadn't thought of that, but I think there's probably some truth in it.
The other thing I want to bring up is Chris Chibnall. I have not been a big fan of the episodes he's written, but there is one thing I will say about Chris Chibnall, and I think it's something we're a little spoiled by, Dan, from coming from Russell T. Davies and Stephen Moffat. They had a faster pacing to their shows of Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's fair to say. Yeah.
Chris Chibnall plays the long game with his shows. Obviously, look at Broadchurch. You know, there's a long game there. And I think that's where Chris Chibnall might be going, trying to go with this. Again, this is just speculation on my part. And I've hinted at this all season. There's been a underscoring emphasis all season of the Doctor still figuring himself out. Like, and a lot of little influences here, a lot of references to past things, different things from different Doctors. Obviously, we've seen her wearing the scarf in the trailers for the New Year's episode. This is speculation on my part, but what I'm seeing is it seems like they're maybe building to a story where the Doctor has had a harder time after this regeneration figuring out who the Doctor is than ever before. And again, that's just speculation of what I have observed I'm throwing out, but Chris Chibnall could be playing a long game. Again, but the problem with playing a long game in a series like Doctor Who, if you don't pay it off in this season, which it doesn't look like it's going to happen from what we've seen, and then you have a year break until the next season, that's too long. People are going to lose interest. There's too much out there to grab our interest in the meantime. This is not a wise decision by the BBC if it's coming from the BBC to delay this until 2020. This should be no more than we should have something in the fall. Even if they just give us another special or two in the fall and then start the regular season that way. But they got to give it something, because we've got, people will lose interest. And it's not, it's just because we are in a society where everything is instant at our fingertips, and there's always some form of new social media or new media to absorb. We've got Disney Plus coming out in 2019 with original Star Wars films, original Marvel shows. So there's going to be a lot of distractions. You've got to be aware that you've got a lot of more competition than you have ever had before. Doctor Who will always have a place. Doctor Who will always have a staple. But the BBC needs to take a step back, figure out what's going on, and address it, whether it's making a change with Chris Chibnall, making a change with Jodie Whittaker, who I feel, and again, my personal opinion is, I know that people have been hard on her performance, people have liked her performance. I think it falls somewhere in the middle. I think she's got so many different strings pulling at her, she hasn't been able to figure out her doctor. And it could be how she's being directed to act, to play her doctor kind of without any certainty of just who this doctor is. We don't know that, but... again, that's just speculation on my part, but I mean, that's kind of how I feel about it, Dan. But the big mistake is I think taking a full year's break is not a wise decision by the BBC, period.
Well, they've, I mean, I think though, yeah, I agree with a great deal of what you've just said. And I think that when you talk about, you mentioned HBO and Game of Thrones and all this sort of thing, we've talked about this before, and HBO have taken 2 years, it'll be 2 years break with Game of Thrones. And the BBC has mentioned their aspirations at building the show up to that kind of level, or certainly of it being even on that level already. And but they do it, when they issue these statements, just like that, the statement about this new delay, the statements are so glib. And so, I mean, the quote from Chris Chibnall... The quote from, which I'm not going to read out, but the quote was so out of touch with public response and with how the series has been received. And I'm not saying the series has been received like universally badly. I'm well aware that it hasn't. But you know, this man talks a really good game, but people aren't stupid. They know that this isn't Game of Thrones. They know the BBC isn't HBO, and they can't get away. They can't sell us this with this long wait. The way that HBO trail and maintain the Game of Thrones profile when it is off air, either for a year or two in this case, is a country mile difference from how the BBC have handled this. I mean, those disc releases we talked about a few minutes ago, they stagger those. They build the up as events in themselves. And crucially, HBO never talk down to their audience. And, you know, like this, we've got a couple of loops spinning at the moment, haven't we? A couple of loops open, I mean. We talked about The Last Jedi earlier on. And whilst both fandoms are far from innocent in all this, both Lucasfilm and the BBC have sank to the level of attacking sections of the fandoms, and therefore their paying audience, with various statements, which, you know, in the case of Lucasfilm, it was absolute abject stupidity, and it cost them. It absolutely cost them when Solo went to the box office. But, of course, the BBC haven't got that problem. They've got our license fee already. But, you know... who knows what it may cost them during the time that Doctor Who is off the air. And I would, as much as I've disagreed with how this tenure has been handled up to now, what I have enjoyed is seeing some children come to it fresh and seeing some people come to it fresh. And so to distance them from it this early, big, big, big mistake. And yeah, they will just move on. And it just seems a great pity when Series 11 is the tip of the Doctor Who iceberg, and ideally Series 12, and whether it's Chibnall and Jodie's last seasons or not, should have come at the same time next year. Sarah Graham said this a few weeks ago, who was our guest voice on the show that week. She's a mother. Her children are going to be very disappointed, as I would imagine that children will be up and down the country, maybe over the world. And, you know, that's never a good look, disappointing kids.
Yeah, I mean... Here's the thing, and this is what I don't get. There is no reason we couldn't have like a Waters of Mars type special or something like that sometime in the summer or fall to kind of bridge the gap a little bit. That's all that's needed. Give me a 90-minute Doctor Who special in like August, September that maybe that will set up some things for the upcoming season. That's all we need. That's all I think all anybody would people wouldn't have been disappointed, but they would have been good with that. But to have a full year now and not knowing what to expect, it's just, there's more behind the scenes. I truly do believe that that's going to come out at some point. But
well, let's hope it's one that it's a seriously good New Year's Day special that that can keep people thinking about it for a few months. I mean, who knows what you're going to get there? But yeah, I mean, as we've talked about this over the last couple of months, so we've ridden the this is the final regular episode of Series 11 before the finale, and you know, the last one of our sort of talks in this form with just the two of us in this case can sit and talk about a standard episode that maybe hasn't got the weight of expectation on it. And the timing of the announcement seems, I mean, it's better for them to announce it themselves than to have it leaked out, but to have announced that within minutes of the finale airing, for us to talk about now when we're still processing what we've just seen, you know, it's mind blowing, really.
Well, what they should have done is had this announcement after the New Year's special.
I agree.
But you know what, BBC, I'm going to throw this out to you. There is one way to fix this, at least a little bit. Is somewhere down the line before the premiere of the new season, say we trolled you a little bit. Doctor Who, see, the next season of Doctor Who will debut on Christmas Day of 2019.
That would certainly make up for it, because that losing that Christmas special didn't go down well. Yeah, you're right. And yeah, it'd be great. I'd love to have an Easter special like we did in 2009. Or, and any of those things. That's a brilliant idea, Kyle. I can't imagine why they haven't looked at that. You would think that the actors would want, you know, who knows. I can't think why they haven't looked at that. Yeah, obviously we're gonna carry on talking about Doctor Who on Type 40, old and new, and I say this. I don't just say this to be flippant. There is always something to talk about with Doctor Who, but it's a Doctor Who is a place that we go to, and it's constantly expanding. And sometimes I feel that the people who understand that the very least are the BBC themselves.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be an interesting time. And I hope the BBC is ready to have every little aspect of this current season of Doctor Who really broken down and thrown at them over the next year while people are waiting, because that's what's going to happen. But
we can only hope. We can only hope.
But let's move forward and talk about Episode 9, It Takes You Away. Mr. Hadley, if you would be so kind to tell the people about this the synopsis of this episode.
Yeah, well, this one, I mean, it starts quite abruptly, doesn't it? The TARDIS materializes deep in a forest in the fjords of Norway, straight out of... Every time somebody talks about Norway, I think of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But yeah, the travellers, they seem to be getting a bit of sightseeing done for non-determinative reasons, and are relaxing before they spot this isolated, boarded-up house. Inside, they discover a frightened young girl waiting for her dad to come home, and outside, strange noises can be heard. Could it be the monster that her father's warned her about, and what's going on with that weird mirror upstairs? It all sounds fantastic. So fantastic, I forget that I actually watched this. I know it's not like that. they build this as The Cabin in the Woods meets M. Night Shyamalan take on Doctor Who, didn't they? That this could be the higher concept episode of Doctor Who for the season. Episode 9, very late in the day, but the last standard episode. And generally in the past, this has been the slot where we've got some, I wouldn't say oddball stories, but they've done interesting things with them, knowing that people have got one eye on the finale already. So we had the Eaters of Light in Series 10, which had a very distinctive flavour about it. And this, I think, was aiming for a similar thing. Even though it was the second episode to be recorded, I found out this week, they were aiming to give us something that had a distinct flavour, weren't they? The European, mainland Europe, I'm talking about, sort of flavour to the production value. I mean, the scenery was beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely beautiful. And almost enough... It took you a good 5 or 10 minutes before I realised that not a great deal was actually happening.
Yeah,
I mean, what did you think about this one, Kyle?
Okay, well, this episode was written by Ed Heim, who has since become the first returning writer for Series 12, which means I think that there's aspects of this episode that will be carrying on into Season 12, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But he's been mostly an unknown quantity. Most of his work was being done for radio. Yeah. I'm going to say with this episode is that I think this episode of Doctor Who got too smart for itself. I think there were some really interesting ideas in this episode, but they went a little too far with it. But it was this episode's, it was a slower paced Doctor Who episode again, but there were some moments that really stood out in this episode for me too, Dan. And you know what those moments, I think you can guess what those moments were because it involves some of our guest cast.
Yeah. I know you're very much like me in this respect. You're not adverse to slower pace of storytelling with a nice payoff at the end. We don't want all our episodes to feel and sound and taste the same. But there's still got to be something whole, something that congeals and makes it feel substantial and satisfying. And I just don't think that this hit those beats. And in the past this season, but there's been episodes that have bored me to tears, I'm afraid. And we'll talk about that when we talk about the series as a whole in a few episodes' time. Yeah, there's been some boring episodes of Doctor Who this series. And I don't think that there's anything worse that Doctor Who can do than be boring. But if there's a close second, it's to be it's to bring a story and a script and an idea that has huge potential and doesn't fulfill that. I think that's in some people would even say it's worse. So what were the moments for you, Carl, where you felt that this lost its shape?
You know, I just felt it lost its shape because it took so long to develop as far as it felt like the first 40 minutes of the first three quarters of the show felt like they were developing. And then there's this reveal when the Doctor figures things out. And it's this absolutely huge reveal of something from the Doctor's past. Something that had a great effect on the Doctor. And then it just felt so rushed after that.
Well, we've had this before. This is a thing I've noticed in this season. We had it with the Witchfinders I talked about on the last episode of the show. Where the Doctor will, there'll just be this massive exposition leaving her mouth, sort of as if to tie it all together, and that will make it all right. And that by some magical sort of spell, that makes it a story. And it just doesn't. I think that with the M. Night Shyamalan thing, you know, we've got the thing where he likes to pull the twists around. And I think in some respect, they were trying to do that. And there was that whole Narnia aspect of this story with the mirror that people can step in and out of, and it remind me of Narnia. It reminded me of Labyrinth when we entered into that domain, that sort of the interzone, they called it, didn't they? Mm-hmm. You know, and these ideas that could have really gone somewhere, but
the best idea that came in this was this mirror universe, we'll call it for right now. Having these loved ones be back from the dead. And at the time, we're trying to figure out what the story is behind that. And of course, that leads to me, what was one of the shining parts of this was the return of Sharon D. Clarke to the show and her interactions with Graham Bradley Walsh, which were just outstanding. And there was so much emotion in those moments. And that was probably one of my favorite parts of the episode. And I kept hoping that they'd somehow bring Ryan in, but I almost think it works better that they didn't bring Ryan in and they just let those two have that moment, have those scenes, because that was so powerful. And just, you know, how would you feel if all of a sudden the woman you loved, who you just lost, was there in front of you again? How would you react to that?
Well, yeah, this is a moment that I think we all knew was coming at some point in the season, certainly at the time, however long Bradley Walsh is going to be with the show. But have you thought what those scenes would have been like if it had been Ryan who would have seen Grace, and if Graham would have been the one, sort of how those scenes would have been? Because in a sense, I feel Ryan's relationship with her has been sort of relegated a little as something that's talked about rather than shown. I think that's a shame. Do you think the scenes would have been any different? Would it have made the...
Oh, yeah. I think the scenes would have been very vastly different because it's a totally different relationship. However, I think in this case, doing it with Bradley Walsh was the right choice. You know, there's a big difference between loving your grandchild or your child and the woman, the person you truly give your heart to. And, you know, with the impact that she had on Graham was absolutely huge. And to see her come up again like this, even though it might have been projected that it was going to happen at some point in the season, it was very well done. And it was, to me, it was the highlight of the episode.
Well, the predictability in this case wasn't a bad thing. I think there's a poetry and there's a shape to that. And knowing that that was the journey that Graham was on, I do love this character. I really and truly do. And the fact that he chose to continue travelling with the Doctor because he wasn't ready to face the ghosts in his day-to-day life. And then through the process of the adventures, being forced to face them. That was a bit of a gut punch and did salvage the episode for me to some respects. And I wouldn't have swapped the characters out either, I don't think. But it's an interesting idea.
Yeah. Now, I think, too, one of the things is to flip it was... It became... They used it as a little bit of a MacGuffin, too, in the case of the daughter and the husband refusing to leave his wife. And...
Yeah.
To me, it's where the emotional side of this episode was actually, I thought, very strongly done. It was more of the, okay, how do we get out of this problem? What's the cause of this problem? All that. That felt like they just didn't put enough focus on that. This was more about the emotion of the episode than it was that. And I'm going to say it. When the Doctor finally figures out what's going on with this mirror universe and it's this Solitract, which turns out to be this huge thing, pretty big deal thing from the sound of it, in the history of Time Lords, that to me, that just felt like, whoa, you're dropping this big bomb and we're not even getting really a chance to really even explore it.
It comes across as, in this instance, it's mumbo jumbo. And by labeling it as something that is, oh, it's from the Time Lords, that's neither here nor there. That is nailing it in to the bedrock of the show's lore, and it's quite a lazy thing to do, really, because it's neither here nor there. And in this instance, it doesn't add anything to the show or particularly the character. In fact, it all makes it look very contrived and rather convenient. You know, the Doctor's yet again, and we thought earlier on this was a pattern and it was going somewhere. It turns out it's not. But yet again, the Doctor hears a name or something reminds her of something that she's, oh, I've heard that name, or I know what that is. And then she just goes off and sorts it all out. And it just all seems so lazy. And when you've got an episode that looks as pretty as this does in places, that stuff in the Interzone was beautiful as the scenes in Norway. And the production design was great. The direction, this is Jamie Childs again. You know, he directed the opening episode and my favourite one, The Demons and the Punjab. And he brings a lot of that to it, but there's only so much polishing of this you-know-what that can be done. Because at the end of the day, it's simple. I mean, the culmination of it is simply absurd. It's in concept and in realisation. And I don't mind absurdity. This is Doctor Who we're talking about. Numerous writers and directors have handled the absurdity really, really well. But in this instance, it's absurdity that's dressed up to be something really profound. And that's why it doesn't work. That's why, as a viewer, we disconnect from it. And I hate to say it, Kyle, you know, we haven't mentioned our amphibious friend yet. But when the plot reached its sort of culmination, the Doctor goes through and into that passageway and all is revealed, I think for the first time in my life, and I've been watching this show a really long time, I burst into laughter. I was laughing at Doctor Who, probably for the very first time in my life. And that wasn't a very nice feeling. It's not something I'm proud of. And it's not because of how, it's not because of the frog itself or anything like that. It is the concept. It's the idea. It's the idea that, you know, are you really trying to sell us this as being something profound, something deep, something almost spiritual for the Doctor, and a worthwhile statement to make? Because that's not how I felt about it at all. I mean, going back a little bit, what you're talking about, the characters and the emotional side to the story, you know, I think I understand the sort of story they were trying to tell and the statement they were trying to make. And I thought some of the acting was really nice. I thought that Ellie Warwick, who played Hannah, and the guy who played Eric, I can't remember his name, the father, I thought they were both really good. And they had this sort of, cool otherworldly quality about them, which was quite nice. But the situation, the idea of this father that, you know, that I hate to say it, but this series, it's been down on men, and particularly white men. And the idea that single dads are this inept and selfish and easily manipulated and would abandon his daughter, not just abandon his daughter, but out and out lie to her and put within fear of her life, so that he could go off, for some time with what he thought was his wife. I really disliked that intensely. In fact, so I've got a huge problem with that. I think for me, this isn't the worst episode of the series, but it's the one that got to me the most. Really got under my skin, it's a bit of a low point in the history of Doctor Who.
What I'll say about this, as far as Christian Rubik as Eric, who played Hannah's father, I think I don't want to say it's portraying him in a bad light, because here's somebody who had a major loss in their life, and all of a sudden it's by some miracle it's there, and there's going to be, human nature is going to go confusion, and there's going to be a selfish part cooking into it. Now, to be as callous as he was to his own daughter seems like a bit much there. I can't, I'm mad, but again, emotional states lead to strange things. As far as the frog goes, I when I rewatched this episode, there's a couple of things. One, the idea of the frog and why they chose the frog, I can understand that. They established that the frog had very strong emotional meaning to Grace, and that the Solitrak really liked Grace and wanted that connection with her, so took that form. I'm fine with that. That part of it, I'm great with.
On paper, it looks fine, doesn't it? Yeah. It seems reasonable.
It's one of those times where the idea, if you're reading it in a book and you can visualize it in your own head, works. But then for someone to put it on the screen and it wasn't the best effect that they could have done.
Do you think that was deliberate? Do you think that was the frog looked deliberately ropey? Because I think about this.
I think it could have been, but just the whole effect, you have this puppet, really weird looking frog. You've got the whole white room effect going on. And then basically the doctor saying how much it cared about the Solitrak, but basically tricking it to let her friends go and put it in a position where it has to let her go or it's going to die. That doesn't sound like the doctor to me.
It's not very doctor. We've had a few moments. There's a few moments in this episode that weren't very doctor. The way, you know, I thought Jodie Whittaker was bloody awful in this episode, if I've got to be honest. And the scenes where she confronted Eric, I thought that they were, not only were they badly acted, very, very clumsy, but it didn't feel like the doctor. And we've had stuff like that earlier on in the series too. I think that if this episode had have played with its tone a little more, and it had been generally absurd and not signposted where it was going, but made it feel like it belonged in part of the same story, and had a certain playfulness about it, it would have been a lot easier to process it all. But as you said, some of it was so, these emotional issues are so deep, And how can you do that with that kind of content? And that's why I feel that this episode was just missed somewhere at ground level. Once they'd got the script and it was in the, and they were all the director, the producer, this cast, somehow what's been manifest from it is just wrong. And like we said earlier on, Ed Higham apparently is back for series 12. I can only hope that the man's vision for this was different to this, and that we get something better next time.
Well, okay, so I'm going to throw this out there, and I want to get your opinion on this as far as the solo track is concerned. I like the idea of it. It's an interesting concept. It was just introduced like it was crowbarred in. However, I would have loved to have seen the solo track come out in Capaldi's run as the Doctor, because I would have loved to have seen that kind of interaction.
Now, you see, that takes... So I just gasped at the thought of that. The idea, particularly in light of Listen, where we had the frightened boy under the bed. Oh, God, that would have been great. There'd have been a shape to it. There'd have been a poetry to it. It would have made sense. That's not to say that I think Jodie couldn't bring that out of herself in a performance. This is she's a good actress. I've no doubt that she could. But this early in an incarnation, yeah, it's a really interesting idea.
I think it goes back to something, too, with what I've been saying about this, is Jodie hasn't found her Doctor yet. And I think this was too heavy a thing to bring out when Jodie really doesn't feel like she's found her full voice as the Doctor yet. No. And, you know, Sarah brought up an interesting point, and I've thought about this after watching this episode the last time she was on. How Jodie at times seems more like the Doctor when she's not trying to be the Doctor.
Hmm.
And I think that's part of the problem. I personally think Jodie might be getting over-directed.
She's got so much natural charm, hasn't she, Jodie Whittaker? She genuinely has. And the Doctor, nobody's ever failed in this part before.
I'm not going to say nobody's ever failed.
No, I don't think they have. I think in bringing their own truth to it, I think we've all got incarnations that we don't like, and I think the secret is to take that in that personal charm that comes effortlessly and tap into that. And as you say, she's being over directed, and some of the not so much this one, but certain other Chris Chibnall's episodes, he really overwrites the character, gives her way too much to say, way too much, and too many name drops and things like that. And so this woman who's got a list of amazing performances, in my opinion, great performances. We can't. It's if somebody's asked me what's her Doctor like after 9 weeks, I don't think.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And again, I don't think that's a knock on Jodie. I think this comes from the writing and the direction that's going on. And like I said earlier, I think Jodie is being caught in the middle of something that's going on that we're not quite sure about yet, because she's too good of an actress to, again, it just doesn't feel like she's settled in at home yet. But Capaldi felt the same way to me. Capaldi didn't feel like the Doctor until his third season. So, you know, I know that you feel that way,
but a lot of the things in his first series and his second series, at least you can say that that version of the character he's playing there, which in some ways were quite different from one another, but at least you could tell they were a choice that was being made and a line that was being walked. And here, as you've said, I don't think any choices have really been made and no real lines been walked.
I think when I go back and look at the season so far, and obviously I haven't seen the finale yet, and we have the New Year's Day special, Jodie's Doctor is almost feeling made to be nebulous, but for a reason. There's not that definition. She's still kind of in this nebulous state as the Doctor, with little moments showing out here and there, but still kind of floating around. And I just can't imagine that. Perhaps Chibnall's doing this intentionally with the writing, with a long game approach. The question is, will he taking too long to get to it, and will we not ever truly get that because he's taking too long. He's being Broadchurch with it. Is it the best way I can describe it? He's writing a mystery that only he knows and nobody else knows.
I think I want to cling on to that too. As somebody who's liked all his other work, I even liked Camelot. I thought that was a really fun show.
Oh, I did too.
So, you know, I'd love to cling on to that. And this was recorded second, as I said earlier on. But as time ticks on, and with that gap, I'm really starting to doubt it. So, you know, I'm from your lips to his ears, Kyle. That's
I don't know. And I mean, this is me holding on to something because I'm willing to give, especially with Doctor Who, because I think with Doctor Who, you've got to give time. I think anytime you have a change in Doctor, you've got to give it some time. And Moffat had longer seasons to work with Matt Smith. He had Russell T. Davis had a longer season to work with David Tennant and more time with those changes. And even longer seasons to work with Capaldi. This is a 10-episode season, and you're trying to completely change. You're trying to make Doctor Who for a new generation, and at 10 episodes, that's not enough time. It's just not. At the end of the day, it's not enough time to make the drastic changes that Chris Chibnall and the BBC apparently want to make to Doctor Who. And in the meantime, because people know it's a short season, because people know all these changes, you've got a lot of new excited fans, yes, but how much is that excitement going to carry over with this break? And two, you've got a lot of the old school fans who are feeling like, hey, what about us? And I think they're in this, it's in this very precarious situation right there where the classic fans need to give Doctor Who a little more time to develop, but the problem is, are they willing to wait? While the new fans, are they going to get enough Doctor to fill their need before they move on to something else? And I think that's the big question going forward with Doctor Who right now. Unless something very drastic happens in the finale, in the New Year's Day episode, which if the rumors are true and we see something familiar, I'll put it that way, in the New Year's Day episode, will that bring some of the classic people back more on board to say, okay, well, we'll wait for this? Or will something so drastic happen in that New Year's Day special that people are going to be like talking about it in anticipation for 2020? That's the question at this point.
I think they have to start not necessarily reaching into the lore of the show. I mean, you know, and certainly just not just pulling things out of thin air, but I think reconnecting with the core values of the show and giving us, it's one thing to give us sort of spooky stories, but to make them scary and unsettling, to bring us some jeopardy, to bring us some danger. If they're going to do these oddball, absurd stories, then to amuse us and to be very overtly visual and to be bizarre and to go all or nothing. And the same with monster, with the monster aspects of it. If you're going to give us monsters, you know, the spiders episode went some way. Give us proper monsters and give us some, not gore, but you know, sort of like with Tim Shaw in the first episode. You know, there was things there they could have done, interesting visual things. And to have gone all the way through this episode and the interzone with that character who I've made a note of, his name was Ribbons, played by the British character actor Kevin Eldon, who was the character that they met in the middle, he was a sort of March Hare. If this was Wonderland, he'd be the March Hare, wouldn't he? You know, I thought that was going to go somewhere nice. He's a great actor, and he was pretty much just wasted. Maybe the interzone idea will be back. I hadn't thought of that before, Kyle. And you're right. There's potential there to build something out of that. Maybe, yeah. I'd like to think that something could be salvaged of this, because, as I said earlier on, there's nothing worse than a spent decent idea, an idea that's been spent unnecessarily.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Unwisely.
Yeah. Well, with that, we're going to take a little break and tell you about all the great things here at the Fandom Podcast Network, and we'll be right back with our closing thoughts on this week's episode.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan, the Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
So, Dan, we've got one episode left and the New Year's special. We know Chibnall is writing the finale. We have the New Year's special, and then we don't have Doctor Who for a while. So we're hoping that these two episodes will give us something to kind of hold on to fill the void, shall we say?
Yeah. Bring excitement back to Doctor Who. Bring sense of adventure and real spirit and jeopardy, and do something interesting with the characters. You know, we do like these characters. I like these characters for the most part. Do something interesting with them. Play them up front. Make us care about them. Make us wonder if they're going to live or die. Just do something. Do something. Yeah.
And the only thing I'm going to say is that I'm going to implore all of you who are not happy with the way direction has going, have some patience. You know, we've only had 10 episodes. There was a time where back in the day when the series ran 20 episodes, the first 10 episodes, especially of something new. And I don't want to say Doctor Who is new, but it is new because we have a new writer. We have a Doctor Who for a new generation. So it is something new. There were so many shows that used to take its first 10 episodes and everything was a paint by numbers approach because they didn't know if they were getting renewed or not. And so they were afraid to dive into something major. Yes, we have a huge wait ahead of us. We still have two more episodes at the time we're recording this episode. Let's see what's going to happen and have some patience. Maybe part of the reason why we're going to have this huge gap is because they realize they've got to rework some things. So don't jump off the bandwagon yet. Don't preach to hate. But preach, go, okay, you know what? I'm not liking what I'm seeing, BBC. You got to sell me when season 12 comes out, or then you have a legit thing to have an issue. There's too many things working behind the scenes that we don't know about. And so we can sit there and we can make speculations. All I'm going to say is have a little patience, Doctor Who fans. You've had it before. It's time to have it again.
That's a more than fair statement to make. Yeah.
Now, Dan, I'm feeling a little froggy in my throat. So would you mind taking us out this week?
Yeah, well, of course, on behalf of all of us here on Type 40, thanks for listening and join us again here next time on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, where we have the time if you have the space.
And we are out.